This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Off-Broadway Short Play Festival, right?
Wait, say
the whole thing again. The Samuel French Off-Broadway?
Short Play Festival.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Everything was right except for Samuel French. Company.
Do I need to say that every time we talk about it? Or
No.
Okay.
Hereinafter referred to as the festival.
The French Festival. The French Festival.
All right. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are talking to two folks from a company that many of you in our audience probably know very well, Samuel French Incorporated, or Samuel French LLC. I forget. It doesn't matter. Samuel French in New York.
It does matter to Amy and Casey.
It does matter to them. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. But we have two folks from Samuel French, Amy Marsh and Casey McLean, who are the organizers of the Samuel French Off-Broadway Short Play Competition, which is a long name for something, but and we'll describe in a minute. But thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, I'm looking at their poster right now, and it's actually much easier if you just go oob.
Oob. There we go. Yeah. Did you call it? I'm sure that around the office it refers to as the oob.
Once
in a while, yeah. Okay.
On the other side,
and
it's boo.
Boo. That's good,
okay.
Too.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the festival. What is it exactly? I mean, we've read about it, but I'd like to have you just kind of describe it.
Sure. So the festival was started in 1975, and I believe it was started by a former editor here, Bill Talbot. And the idea was to have emerging playwrights or mid-career playwrights bring plays to us, a short play is under 30 minutes. And it's a competition. So it's a little bit American Idol style. So, seven, eight plays go up every night. And then we have three judges from the industry. This year we have a great array of judges from, the creative team and cast of Hands on the Hard Body to some major artistic directors from New York area theaters to Charles Bush and Julie Halston, who are working together on they have a night together. And the idea is they select one or two plays that really speaks to them and, where they really hear a voice and recognize something in the writer. Mm-hmm. There's a finals. The last day, and the Samuel French editorial staff steps in and chooses six plays to represent and license.
Right.
So it's a very exciting thing. We get to know a ton of playwrights in one really hectic week.
I was going to say, you're saying seven or eight plays a night or a day?
It's a total of 30 plays. So we have what we call the final 30 writers. And our initial application pool, I think the first year I started was roughly like 400. So I've been working on the festival for about 5 years. We are up to this year, I think we had 860 applicants. Some years we broke like
1,000 a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 1,100 playwrights applied for the festival. So this is kind of a big thing. We get submissions from around the world. So we've had playwrights come over from the UK and from Singapore, and we have lots of Canadians. Although this year I don't think we have any Canadians.
Right.
Who reads all these?
This office staff, the Samuel French office staff, we divide all of the submissions that come in. Every submission gets two reads initially, and then there's a point system. There's about 35 people in the office, and so we break it up, and then plays that accrue more points than others, then it goes on to a third read, and that's usually about 200.
Yeah.
And then from there, we do a fourth read, which is usually about 60 to 80, and it's in the fourth read that we choose the final 30.
So how long? This is a year-long process, obviously, of winnowing these down.
Or it would be great if it was. It's actually about a three-month process.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They have a lot of going blind editors.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's, because it really is an activity that kind of bonds the staff together. Mm-hmm. So, and additionally, we pull in, our former interns who are fabulous and love.
Yeah.
They all really feel connected to the festival. And
Now, Now, do some of these plays, like, to be honest now, do some of these, do you, like, you skim and say, uh-uh, or is that, or do you really read each of them pretty carefully?
I feel like most of us read them pretty carefully.
Even if we start a play and we know that it's probably not going to make it,
yeah,
we always like to give the respect to the playwright to read it.
Right. Before.
Although,
well, that's
I
good.
Will say, as the lit coordinator, you know, we do have some very strict submissions requirements. So, like, for example, you can't have a play over 30 minutes. And some playwrights will try to sneak in, like, a 60-page play.
Mm-hmm. Those, say, read it fast, right?
I don't know if this is going to work. Or,
right,
you know,
right.
We've had submissions of poetry in the past where they're like, well, I could just read my poems. Or, you know, so those two are really quick, like, well, this might not be a play, you know, or screenplays.
Right.
We get screenplays a lot, too. Yeah.
Now, this is we have just come off of a community theater festival, which is a different kind of thing, but with your festival, the playwrights sometimes are actually producing the plays themselves, or
yeah,
they're working with a producing company. So it's a new play, maybe has never been seen anywhere, and the cost of production is part of. You don't just submit a script; you're submitting a potential production.
Yeah, you're submitting with the understanding that the script can go on and be produced.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, the cost of production is always something that comes up when we talk to playwrights about the festival. And we've had playwrights be super innovative and very thrifty about productions.
Yeah, I mean, I should just let you know that these aren't fully produced. They're to the point where it's just above a stage reading where actors are on stage, off script, but they all have to work with our set. We provide several block pieces and a couch and just basic stuff, and the lighting's basic, so they have to keep it pretty basic.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The focus of the festival is really on the playwriting and not necessarily the production.
So,
although we do have playwrights that pull in, they call in their, like, Tony-nominated friends, and so that's always really exciting.
Okay.
But the range of production, you know, we've had companies come in and they're like, well, we just got together in my living room last night and we did some blocking, we'll see if it works. And you're like, oh, we hope it works. And then you've had other companies come in and they're like, well, we've been rehearsing for 3 months. And so it's a real range of what you get at the festival. But mm-hmm. Everything's good. Everything's really fun.
Do you find that any of these playwrights, even though they're 30-minute long, are they sometimes excerpted from larger scripts that they're hoping to eventually have published or not?
Occasionally we have had that. Or sometimes they're they're taken from thematic collections of shorts. So, for example, we had a playwright, Matt Hoverman, 1 year who won with a play called The Student, which is a very funny, I think it's about 10 minutes. It's a very funny one act. Everyone should read it. But he actually went on to publish with us a whole collection of holiday-themed one-act plays called Christmas Shorts, and The Student is one of the favorite plays in that collection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it went on to be kind of a bigger thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have had people submit excerpts of full-length plays, although I will say, historically, they've never done very well, and the judges actually are kind of able to tell.
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to move on. I can tell it's supposed to be part of a longer piece.
Yeah, or they'll say, oh, I really wanted to know more about these characters. I feel like we just got a lot of intro, and it was weird because we never figured out what happened. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, like, you know,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's a full length. Yeah, that happens a little bit.
Now, do the winners then get published in an anthology, or are they published as individual scripts?
It's an anthology, and we have 37 of these collections now. We do a big book launch in the office, and the playwrights come down, and we read excerpts of the plays, and it's a big thing. And we've published some amazing playwrights out of this festival, you know, like Shirley Laro, with her Tony-nominated open admissions actually started as a one-act in the festival, and she went on to rewrite it, and then it was on Broadway in the 80s. And Teresa Rebeck, we started our relationship with Teresa through the festival. She has, I think it's in the 14th collection, but she has a one-act in that one. And then recently, you know, Sheila Callahan, Becca Brunstetter, Steve Yockey, Daniel Pearl, who has a show at Lincoln Center right now, these have all come out of the festival. So it's really exciting.
So now the public is able to come and see these, right?
Yeah, tickets are on sale now.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster, Ticket Theater Central. Row,
yeah.
Ticket Central, Theater Row. Anybody can buy tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I asked that question is we were looking at the description in the on the website, and it seemed to indicate it's like, well, because this gets performed in front of some staff members, et cetera, and we wondered if that was like there was a first step where it was only seen by like a committee, or if it's really it's all out there. Once you're part of the top 30, you're actually going to be seen by the public.
It's the public, and yeah. We have people like that start to track. It's like the final 40 of playwriting, like they start to track which plays they like and what moved on. We've had people come like four nights out of the week.
Wow.
And they show up at the finals like to see what made the finals. So, yeah. It's really fun. Yeah.
Do you make those scripts available at all to be read online, or so that people could
the festival.
They're publishers. What do you think?
Oh, I was just curious. Hey, let me ask these questions. All right. I'm asking questions today.
Who do you get to read the plays?
It's our staff. Do you mean in the submissions period?
Pardon?
Do you mean No. Period?
I mean when they're doing stage readings. Okay. Who reads them?
Playwrights actually produce their own plays.
Oh, they do.
So they cast them and rehearse them themselves.
Directors. Okay. And sometimes, in certain cases, they've worked with a producing organization. Like we have students from Columbia, people from NYU, people in the HB Studios Writers Unit. Youngblood from Ensemble Studio Theater has brought in groups of people to perform. And so it's a kind of a community effort. It's a really great event in terms of unifying the community around plays and getting people out. It's fun.
What the winning plays are, and they're, what are there? There are eight that get published in the book?
Six
get published in the book. And then how often do you see those plays get produced then around the country after that fact?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We had a show two festivals ago called Bedfellows, and it's this really cute 10-minute show about Benjamin Franklin and...
Oh, man. I don't know. I need more coffee.
Produced in high schools a lot, high schools and middle schools.
And yeah, it's been done. I think it was just done in a professional production at City Theater in Miami too. City Theater, who's a partner
right.
with our festival, they do the only kind of professional expo short plays in the country. So okay. They always come up and see what we're doing in our
That's
festival.
Great.
We go down there. Yeah, it's really cool. But they just did a Bedfellows 2 years ago and it received raves in Miami.
Yeah.
We have a fun, this is kind of a fun aside too, but the University of Johannesburg in South Africa actually did what they called the FOOB, which was the Far Off-Off Broadway Festival. It was really cute. They took a bunch of our collections and then ended up choosing like six plays that they wanted to do and staged them. But then the whole kind of kicker at the end was that we found out that these weren't licensed. So we had to
go. Oh, wow.
The playwrights and we explained how licensing works and it's become like this very fun relationship.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Now is this your primary focus or do you have other duties there at Samuel French?
Amy and I are both very busy at the office. I'm the operations supervisor and she's the literary manager, so we have a full-time job on top of this.
Wow. Yeah, so it's a labor of love. Like we work at Samuel French 9 to 5 and then everyone on the festival staff is really a Samuel French employee. So for example, Abby Van Nostrand, who's our judge coordinator, also does she's our director of marketing and does partnerships and outreach and branding during the day. Allison Sundstrom, our marketing associate, she does a lot of marketing here, and then I do literary for the festival and literary for the office, and so it all overlaps. It's very
so
very
how big, how big a staff is at Samuel French overall there in New York?
It's 36.
Okay.
We have offices in London and LA too,
right? Yeah.
And so actually the global staff is probably a little bigger.
Yeah, but our LA staff does read the initial reads for the festival. We send it over to them. They like to help that way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's cool. So other than reading all these plays in a very short period of time, what's the biggest challenge in putting this event on every year? What do you think? What would be what's the hardest part about it?
Well, I think
there's two perspectives here.
There's two perspectives. I mean, obviously the reading is a little challenging, but also, just hosting 30 different groups in a single week. I mean, Casey, I will give a little pat on the back to her because she manages, 30 different texts.
Yeah.
There's 30 different performances. There's 30 different. And then, as I said before, the style ranges so much between group to group. So some people come in, they know what they're doing. They never email us. You know, they're like, yeah, we'll get it up. That's great. And some people, you know, this is the first time they've ever been to New York. And, you know, they're like, well, what restaurants are around the theater? And, where can I stop by your office? And where does this happen? And
it's really
There's not very many restaurants around that theater, I bet.
Well, there are.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Where is it?
42nd Street.
Oh, all right.
I'm guessing you can grab a bite someplace close.
Okay.
We were talking about this in one of our episodes previously, but do you ever read a script and you go, this is the best script and we're going to put it on and then it just bombs?
The time our hearts are broken all the time, I tell you what.
Yeah, it's not that it bombs, but I think when you read plays, you know, it's hard to just see it without interpretation. Obviously, everyone goes into scripts wanting to envision how a certain role sounds and who's going to play what and how it looks. And, and so then, you know, I think what breaks the heart is when you see it up there and you're like, that's not what I pictured at all.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was a comedy. Like, that's happened to me.
Right. Or when it's everything you thought it would be and it still doesn't win, right?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think the judges, I mean, obviously we choose a real array of people and they come to the table. You know, some are actors, some are artistic directors, and they have a whole range of perspectives. You know, often what doesn't move on, it's not about the play being good or bad. It's just about it not, the author maybe not satisfying what they tried to do in the play. So like, oh, I see that it was a comedy, but it wasn't really as funny as it could have been. Or like, oh, you know, this, I had more questions here. So yeah, it's generally like everything that's in the festival is a great starting point.
Right.
You know, and it's a great idea and a great concept. It's just how it works on stage.
So 30 minutes is the limit, but you just mentioned you had like a 10-minute play. You get them down to very short shorts then.
Oh, yeah, 5 minutes sometimes. I love those ones.
Yeah.
That's like 3 pages and then they're done, right?
They read quickly.
You've had one-person shows and also, hold on 1 second. We've also had musicals.
Wow.
Short musicals.
Yeah.
Any that have won and been published?
Not as part of the book collection. We've actually gone on to establish some really great relationships, though, with the writers of musicals.
Right.
Recently, like Michael Gordon Shapiro, we ended up publishing one of his, like a children's full length that he wrote called Super Sidekick.
Right. He was consistent in the festival for 2 years, brought these amazing 10-minute musicals with this fantastic staff, and we just fell in love. But unfortunately, the judges never selected them to go on, so we just said, you know what, we're going to help you out.
Full-length material and figure out how we can work together. But he has a great writing partner, Greg Kraft.
Do those ever get published other places then or not? Or are they pretty much done after that?
They can be published in other places. Uh-huh. So in addition to our collection of short plays, which just sells well and is popular, and Smith and Krause does it, like Best Short Plays of America or Best Short Plays from certain years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have Applause Books, I think, does a publication. But those publications don't necessarily come with the licensing end. So that's kind of something unique about our contest is that we handle the licensing.
Yeah, that's great.
And we have had finalists in the past who didn't make the book, but then agents saw the play and they got picked up and, you know, other things happened to them.
Yeah, it's kind of become, the festival's kind of become an industry showcase a little bit. For agents. And I get a lot of other literary managers from the area to come in and see the shows. And so it's kind of an exciting, showcase of new talent, really, new playwriting talent. And some great acting talent, too.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
If somebody wins or one of the top six, are they allowed to enter again later?
They are not at the moment. Samuel French playwrights are great playwrights. I'm not just saying that because I'm the literary manager, but we have some published playwrights that would enter and then inevitably they'd always get to the finals and sometimes they get published and other playwrights would be very like, oh, you just, you know, publish who's in the family.
Oh,
and,
okay.
So we actually put a rule that if you're published by Samuel French, including past winners, you're not eligible for future OOPs. This is just kind of our front door.
Gotcha.
Okay.
The door. There's no return, I guess.
It's not. Well, that's neat. That's neat. So you start, it all starts the 23rd. So you're already, obviously you're really in the thick of it right now.
We're 95% ready. I can say that.
Yeah, well, that's very good.
Well, now how about if people that want to enter for next year, what's the routine for that?
So applications will most likely be posted on the OOB website, which is OOB.SamuelFrench.com.
Okay.
And we generally post starting in about late December, early January.
Right.
And that submissions period goes to about, you know, March.
Okay.
So keep watching. You can also just send us an email or email OOB. OOBFestival@SamuelFrench.com and request to be added to the mailing list. Mm-hmm. And then when that application becomes available, you know,
it's great. Yeah, we have a lot of local playwrights are always trying to get their the material published or at least produced. You've
seen,
you know,
somewhere,
so,
yeah.
You know, we'll, yeah, it's at least read. Because, you know, there's not a lot of forums for short plays out there. And so people have short plays and they're like, what do I do with these? So send them over.
Right.
Very good.
Now, the plays, maybe we covered this, but plays that are, do you get shows that are obviously for youth theater or that all levels of maturity in terms of the content, in other words?
Yeah, we've had plays with nudity and sex, and then we've had some that are for children, and it's a whole range of...
Yeah, it's open. It's open for the festival.
That's great. That's great. Well, thanks very much for joining us. We've been talking to Amy Marsh and Casey McLean at Samuel French Company, and they're talking about the Samuel French Off-Off-Broadway Short Play Competition, which starts July 23rd. Through the 28th this year. If you haven't got your play in this year, playwrights, it's too late. But you can do it next year. We'll have links at the website all about that. So, if you'll just hang on for a second here, Amy and Casey, we need to close up here. Remember to stop by theatergeeks.com and at our store.
Yes.
And our web store where we have teddy bears and things like that. And
all kinds of
cups,
goods.
And great mugs and stuff that you can buy and give away and great gifts. And their coffee mugs are perfect, right, Marsha?
Right.
Yeah,
it really is a nice coffee mug.
Wake up, Marsha. She hasn't had any coffee lately.
Anyway,
you can hear us on iTunes. You can hear us at Stitcher, On Demand Radio, TuneIn Radio, and a whole lot of other outlets. Thanks very much for being with us, Casey and Amy. From Samuel French.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Chow.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer, waking up. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.